I'm Cheryl Corley, sitting in for Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about whatever is in the news and whatever is on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are opinion writer and blogger Jimmy Israel, sports producer Alvin Patrick, syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete, and sports writer Terrence Harris. It has been a big week in the world of sports, so we decided to do a special sports edition of Barbershop today. And I hear that the guys want to talk about the fallout from the indictment of football superstar Michael Vick, the ongoing federal investigation of an NBA referee, and can a commissioner just get a little respect? Troubled times for top leaders of three pro sports leagues. I'll jump in if I need to, but go ahead and take it away, Jimmy.
Hey, hey, fellas, welcome to the shop. How's it going?
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, good, man.
Chilling, man. What's up?
Hey, hey, all right, let's get the ball rolling. Speaking on Mike Vick, indicted on dogfighting charges, will not be joining the Atlanta Falcons at practice anytime soon now. Some say the league is in for trouble. Others just see another nick on Vick's record. And like Celine Dion, the hearts of the NFL fans will go on. Terry, how do you call it?
Man, you know, I mean, I don't think this hurts the game at all. I mean, this is an isolated incident involving one individual. It's not widespread. I mean, so I don't see it as being this big issue for the NFL. But I'm bothered by this because I'm the guy that's still saying, you know, hey, what about our system that says innocent until proven guilty?
Right.
This guy's
right,
already.
Well, I mean, you got a bunch of dead dogs in your backyard. You know what I mean? something's going on.
But remember this.
Go ahead,
remember
T.
this. There was a glove in the back of OJ's garage, too. I mean, come on now.
Here we go. Here we go.
Come on, that's
now,
the right
man.
Example.
Look, hey, man,
I'm
a black man in America. You know, I'm going to be real. I don't trust anything, you know?
Let's not go to the OJ. A-Rock, my man, how are you feeling about that? Terry went to OJ. Yo, A-Rock from ESPN, bust it for me. I mean, is it just Vick catching the nick?
Well, the entire game is catching a black eye simply because Michael Vick's number 7 jersey has been one of the best sellers, if not the best seller, for so many years. I mean, he is a virtual superstar. You know, kids love him. Even if he doesn't necessarily win a lot of football games, he does something on the field that most people have never seen before. I mean, he last year was the first quarterback to ever pass and run for 1,000 yards in the same season. And for this to, just for these charges to be brought, especially in the type of arena, you know, where you're dealing with pet lovers and all that kind of stuff, this is a pretty big blow, especially on the heels of Pac-Man Jones and Tank Johnson.
Ruben, the R, take the ball and run it, y'all.
Yo, I'm surprised, maybe you all too, about how potent a charge this is. I mean, I didn't realize until recently that you can mess with just about anybody under God's green earth, but don't mess with animals. There's a lot of folks out there who just have no sympathy for this kind of stuff. I would agree that it's an isolated incident limited to Vick, unless, and this is how it becomes a problem for the NFL, unless the league is seen as condoning it or going soft on Vick. And that's why I think they had to keep him away from training camp, because if he taints them with this, if they don't immediately try to distance themselves from it. The worst thing I think that people can do is take this lightly and trivialize this, as I did initially. I didn't get it, but I'm starting to get it. It's a big deal to a lot of folks.
Well, I'm going to have some signs to drop in just a minute, because Mr. Vick did have a statement that he issued after he appeared in court. He pleaded innocent. I want everybody to know that. And he did have something to say. He said, "I respectfully ask all of you to hold your judgment until all of the facts are shown. Above all, I would like to say to my mom, I'm sorry for what she's had to go through in this most trying of times. It has caused pain to my family, and I apologize to my family." Words of Michael Vick, who pleaded not guilty to federal dogfighting accusations.
That's smart man.
I love that statement. My man's not afraid of doing the time. He's afraid of his mom. He's afraid what his mom will think. That's awesome. You know what? If Kobe can recover, so can Vic. Let's stop and take a closer look at Tim Donaghy. Is that how we're pronouncing his name, A-Rock?
No, it's actually Donaghy. Donaghy.
Okay, well, dude, the NBA ref who allegedly fixed games for the mob. Now, David Stern is calling this the darker days of his tenure. And, Alvin, it's hard to see how basketball will sustain something like this. Can we ever trust the refs again?
Well, of course we can. I mean, look, City College had a scandal. The Black Sox of 1919 had a scandal. We've seen this before. Pete Rose. The big thing about this is, you know, is that no one knows whether he is just a rogue lone person, just as Stern said in his press conference this past week, or whether there actually are other people who are involved. It calls into question the league being able to really police and to do the proper background checks. One thing that came out just today is that, you know, Donaghy lied on his resume. He said that he played baseball in college, and he did not. You know, he also said that he was a basketball and baseball player in high school. He did not.
And, he's a water boy.
You know, the NBA didn't even know that. It just came out today.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know what, Terry? The way I look at it is this is the kind of scam. There has to be two people. I mean, you really can't pull this off by yourself. Terry, how do you see this? Can the game recover, bro?
I mean, I think, you know, what they have to go to, just like they have random drug testing, now they have to have random lie detector testing for these officials. That's the only way I'll ever trust anything that they ever call again, because I don't believe for one moment that it's just an isolated guy. I think that the NBA wants us to believe that, I mean, for the integrity of their game.
Ruby.
Because maybe now you and I, us Clevelanders, maybe now we're looking at something, you know, why LeBron and them got swept. I mean, I'm wondering, hey, some of those games.
Everybody's saying that, right. Exactly.
You know, exactly. That's what I'm wondering right now. I mean, you know, we were good enough not to be swept.
Okay, Ruben, check in.
I'm waiting for this scandal to go over to the NFL, because then I can explain why my beloved Raiders aren't doing so well. I knew something was amiss.
You know, bad now I figured it out.
Everybody who's out there's got a favorite team has thought the referees or the umpires or whatever are just blind, or in this case, you know, bought and paid for. And I'm willing to go along with what Stern says, and maybe it's an isolated incident. As far as the details of this, I mean, you had mobsters calling his house saying, "You're a dead man." Okay, I mean, right out of the movies. And so maybe you're not going to get anything as dramatic as that. But my problem is there's so much autonomy and power given to referees in basketball. And I hadn't even thought about it before. But the first thing you need to know is that an umpire in baseball doesn't have this much power. A referee in football doesn't have this much power.
Right. A-Rock, going forward, how do we fix this so it doesn't happen again, bro?
You know, there really isn't any real way to police, you know, people that are intent on ruining the integrity of a game. The most disturbing thing is that NBA officials are the highest paid out of all the officials in the sports world. They can make upwards of $200,000 or $300,000 per year. They're going to have to do better background checks. They're going to have to do as much as they can, but really there's no way to absolutely say that they're going to be able to do this better. They're going to put a system in place, as you know, David Stern said, but I don't think there's going to be any guarantee.
To let people know, they're listening to a special sports talk by the guys at the Barbershop, Jimmy Israel, Ruben Navarrete, Terrence Harris, and Alvin Patrick. I'm Cheryl Corley. I'm sitting in for Michelle Martin. Let me jump in. And what about the Tour de France? We have a bunch of accusations and lying and all of that. What's going on with cycling's top race?
You know what? I don't know that I'm into Tour de France all like that. You know,
waiting for this to come up.
Wait a second.
I know
Terry. Terry's an avid biker. You can look at him and see he's an avid biker.
Go Terry.
Yo, Terry, what's going on with the Tour de France, bro?
Hey, man, it's been corrupt. I mean, you know, I mean, but people who do, I mean, who would want to do a race like that, I mean, they, something has to be wrong with them in the head in the first place. But seriously, we've had a long, long-standing problem, even with their biggest name stars and the drug issue. So, I mean, it just doesn't surprise me that this thing carries on. You know, if it's with your biggest stars, trust me, it's going to trickle down. And that's what we're seeing this week.
A-Train. Or A-Rock, I'm sorry, A-Train's off elsewhere. A-Rock,
my name is changing throughout this whole thing, huh? Hey, look, the Tour de France, one thing that we can say is that the governing body of cycling is doing more than any other governing body to actually try to get to the bottom of this. The Tour de France is their Super Bowl, and they are essentially blowing it up. They're going after people in a very, very hard way and trying to implicate those, even if it means, as they did last year, dethroning the champion, even if it means this year a cycling team dropping out when they have the actual leading cyclist. That's in the case of Mr. Rasmussen. So at least they're actually trying, and you know, that's probably what most people don't think Major League Baseball and the track and field, you know, folks are not doing.
Oh, I think they're trying now. Everybody's trying now. You know, but the thing is, with the Tour de France, I mean, this keeps coming up. I mean, year after year after year after year. And so I think at some point you got to look at it and say, hey, I mean, are any of these guys really clean?
Terry, you know what? You know what, Terry? I'm with you. You know, I mean, because I can't even bike to the corner, much less, you know, across country. And I always thought those guys were crazy. I want to thank C-Love for making a good point, well-timed. But, you know, check this out, man. Let's take a look and step back and look at the whole disheveled landscape of sports where it looks like everyone's got some explaining to do. Now, Terry, which commissioner do you think is catching it worse? Bud Selig for Barry Bonds, Roger Goodell for Mike Vick, or David Stern for the NBA?
Well, I definitely say it has to be David Stern because we're talking about with him the integrity of the entire game. We don't know what we've seen, if everything that we've watched this past year or in the past couple of years, I mean, if it really played out the way it should have. With that thought in mind, I'm thinking David Stern has the biggest problem of any of the commissioners by far.
A-Rock.
Without a doubt, it's David Stern, you know, as Terry said, this is the very fabric of his entire league that is being questioned, you know, and the other commissioners are really dealing with individuals, although Bud Selig is dealing with a larger problem that he ignored in the 90s, and he's chosen to make it bigger by, you know, acting like he wasn't actually going to show up for the breaking of the biggest record in the history of American sports. But he's since, you know, backtracked and he will be there. But David Stern has the most, he has the biggest problem right now.
Okay, Ruben, run it.
Yo, I put a vote in for Bud Selig having the toughest job and the tough spot. And I'll tell you why, because from baseball, you would end up with steroids and everything.
Right.
And it's been one of the most discouraging parts of the story. I saw a story just a couple days ago that about a steroids investigation in golf, no less. Okay.
Oh, man.
In golf. You know, anywhere you have a competition and you have the human element, there's going to be the incentive to cheat and to sort of juice up your performance. And the fact that for those of us who remember when Hank Aaron broke Babe Ruth's record, this is a huge deal that's about to happen with Barry Bonds. And there's a whole sort of cloud overhead. And it's really discouraging. For those of us who love baseball, it's really sad that we're about to hit this milestone and there's a pall over it. And I think that's heavy. I don't know how Selig can deal with that.
Fellas, we're around the third and headed home. I want to thank you so much for joining the barbershop. I'm going to kick it back to C-Love, Cheryl Curley, who's sitting in for Michelle Martin.
Thank you, Jimmy. Jimmy Israel joined us from WUKY in Lexington, Kentucky. He writes for the opinion page of the Lexington Herald Leader. Ruben Navarrete writes for the San Diego Union-Tribune and CNN.com. He joined us from KPBS in San Diego. Terrence Harris is a sports writer for the Houston Chronicle. He joined us from KUHF in Houston, Texas. And Alvin Patrick is a coordinating producer for ESPN's First Take, and he joined us from his office in Bristol, Connecticut. You can find links to all of our barbershop guys at our website, npr.org/tellmemore. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks,
Cheryl.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Yep.